Okay, this is an opportunity now for us to be able to talk about some of the issues which you've been hearing about there. You may have some questions you want to ask, some ideas, some points which are going to crop up when we're preaching the gospel of grace to people, and people, the problems that they have about this concept of forgiving each other, because it's a big issue. John, you had a question.
Yes, Stephen, your presentation, one of the points you made was that forgiveness is not dependent on confession. In other words, we should forgive, which is good for us and can be good for others. So my question is, in the scriptures, for example, in 1 John 1 verse 9, it says about us in relation to God, if, that little contingency, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So it seems to me that forgiveness from God for us is contingent upon us repenting. So how does that fit in us having an attitude where we're just to forgive people? And of course, Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. Mm-hmm. They know not what they do, and they hadn't repented. So how do we reconcile these two aspects?
Mm. Yes, it's a good question. Has anyone got any thoughts on that?
Nothing.
I think what's probably worth having a look at is possibly, John, we need to split that into the two parts there. What Jesus did on the cross is to forgive people, and they were not in a repentant frame of mind at all. They were crucifying him, but he forgave them, because that was perhaps all that was within his power to do. But when we have a look at that passage from John's letter, we've moved beyond that, and we're looking at the possibility of a relationship.
Mm. I think that while Jesus was hanging on the cross, his love for the people around him at the bottom of the cross overcame him, and he was just saying, Father, forgive them. He wasn't actually forgiving them himself. He was doing the work on the cross at that point. Mm. And he was just saying, Father, you know, this is what I came here for. Forgive them.
Yes, but he was showing a forgiving attitude himself.
Definitely, otherwise he wouldn't have been hanging there.
Yeah, yeah.
So can I summarise what you've said? Because to me, that word relationship, it does sort of sum it up. So in other words, if we confess to God, he forgives us, we've got relationship with God. And God is waiting there to forgive people. But unless they repent, they can't qualify for that and can't enter relationship. So we can forgive people, even though they don't repent to us. And that helps us be set free from our, you know, bad attitudes. But what you're saying is that doesn't mean we will then enter, you know, into a friendship or a relationship with that person. Is that what you're saying?
I think so, yes. Does anyone else want to add anything to that?
I think what Jesus Christ did is he did it to show love to the world also. Mm.
Yeah.
To let everyone to learn from what he passed through in the painful way. To let the world also to learn to show love, also to forgive those who have offended other people, so that we all do it in a practical way to let peace come among everybody. So I think it's a love that he showed to the world.
I think that's an important point, isn't it? That most people, what is their vision of God? What is their thought of meeting with God? I suggest that most religions of the world have a vengeful God.
Mm.
One who is angry, one who we have to make sacrifices to appease an angry God. That's most people's picture of God. But when we come to meet Yahweh, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we find he's very different. As Robert was saying there, he's a loving God. So I think what we're seeing in the picture here, first of all, is that God is a forgiving God.
Mm.
The question is, do you want to relate to it? And I think these are the passages which come from 1 John and from what Jesus says after teaching everyone the Lord's Prayer. If you forgive your brother your sins, your Father will forgive you. So you're engaging in the process there. But basically, the bottom line is, God is a forgiving God. And I think that's possibly the message we've got to spread out, that God is not a vengeful God. He's not an angry God with us. We don't have to do anything. We have to come to God to find He's a gracious God. And He's a God of love, as Robert says.
So sometimes when we take this message of forgiveness, and we've probably already had the experience that people latch on to that quite quickly, it's a relief to them to be set free. But can I just share a little story? I had a cousin of mine, she was in her 30s at the time, and she'd been sexually abused by her father as a child, and we hadn't seen each other for a number of years, and I'd got converted at this stage, and I shared with her about the Lord, about God and the gospel, and she was quite angry, because she said, how could a God of love let, you know, things happen to me? I was abused. And she was still very angry against her father, very angry against God. And so she never responded. And one of the things I said to her was, well, your father may not be in this room now, but he still has power over you. You are letting him rule your life and your whole attitude. And, you know, it's one of the great things, one of the great benefits about us just forgiving. And I like, Steve, what you said, forgive means to let go. Mm-hmm. When we forgive, we let it go. And she couldn't and wouldn't come to the Lord because she couldn't forgive her father. And, you know, she died around the age of 40 from a heart attack. And I believe that constant anguish, that constant anger, had an effect on her shortness of life. So, you know, that's a good example for maybe some of the things we may come across, because there are the extremes. Some people will receive the forgiveness of God with two hands. They see it as such a valuable pearl. Others will battle with this because they can't get over hurt.
So we're trying to present a God who is a forgiving God. Now, it's obviously an important part, and some people do have difficulties because of their upbringing and so on like that there. Have you any ideas how John might have been able to help? What are some of the things which might have been able to be said which could help that young woman who was struggling? It was an obstacle for her receiving the gospel there. Have you any ideas what we could say to someone like that to help them?
Well, she's clearly missing a proper father figure that was going to look after her, take care of all of her needs. And if there's a way that you could persuade her to at least have a think around the benefit that we've had in our lives in coming to know our God personally, and how He has broken down various walls and challenges and allowed us to grow in our own lives, to be able to get to a stage where we can talk to people who are in those situations. It's possible that she may latch on to that and start to think, well, okay, here's the ultimate father figure, the one that knows how to be the best father figure, and the one that is going to be able to provide me with everything that I need to be able to get over and be healed from this torment and this pain that I have inside my mind.
So I think that's quite good. That's a good bit of theology to be bringing an idea. But the testimonies can be quite helpful as well, can't they? You know, Charles, you've had some bad experiences there. How have you learned to forgive the people who did such awful things to your family?
it's not easy to forgive some kind of things people do to you or to me. I think we can only forgive if God gives us the grace to forgive. And this is by understanding that we ourselves are not righteous. We've done many things bad. No matter how small we think our things are, but if God keep those things for us, like we try to keep the things that others commit against us, then I think the grace would depart from us and we might not have the grace to live.
I think that's very interesting, because what you're reflecting on is actually your problems between you and God.
Yeah.
And you recognize how great is that.
Yeah, just
grace
like,
to you.
Just like I said in our Lost Prayer, that we should forgive those who trespass against us, as the Lord forgives us as well.
Yeah.
So, and another thing I believe is, if we really realize that to forgive people is about 60% of our own advantage, we will do it, because the more we keep the grief in us, the more it kills us. The more we try to revenge, and the more we try to revenge, the more we get hurt. The more we hurt others around us, even the ones who love us, we begin to hurt them, because there is no space for peace. There is no space to welcome anyone in our head this time. Although I think the best thing to do is to try in any way we can to put it behind us and set ourselves free from that cage of anger. Yeah.
So how are you getting on in the process of forgiving the people who did such awful things?
Yeah, sometimes I've tried to get help me to forgive, and that is why I keep on living. But sometimes, maybe when you're listening to news, when you see a case that's almost similar to your situation, I'm a human being. Sometimes I still get angry. Many times I tell my friends, if God will give me opportunity to get a kind of group, I am still going to revenge something someday. But after sometimes I do something I know, oh, this is a mistake I did. I say, God, please forgive me. And I was like, I've forgiven those people. I wouldn't revenge anything. But just like you said, that to forgive is not to forget. I strongly believe that, because most time you come across something, you come across, or you face a situation, you think, oh, if this person did not do this to me, I wouldn't face this situation today. You still remember those things. So we can only continue our life by reading the Bible, eating the Word of God every time. This helps me to put things behind me. Sometimes it can be very bad, very, very bad, like somebody putting a kind of hammer and nail on your head. But you are like, oh, I've forgiven, and if God will begin to remember mine, seems to I want the revenge, will I stand? I just give it up.
Do you not think that listening to the example of someone who is struggling with forgiving, actually, how that it's an inspiration to us? If, you know, we look at someone like Charles, and we sort of say, well, if he can forgive the people who killed members of his family, or at least he's trying to, then perhaps we can forgive the people who have done things to us.
And also, you mentioned, Steve, sorry, Robert.
No, go on.
You mentioned, Steve, that forgiveness can often be, did you say a journey, not an event, something like that. Would you agree, Charles, that good has come out of you fleeing Nigeria, coming to Latvia? You now have a wife that you love, you know, a good wife is from the Lord. You have a child that you love. So good, would you agree? Good has come out.
Yeah, this keeps me going too, because I understand that in every situation we face,
is the kind of refinery we face to be better in life. Because sometimes I think I wasn't more righteous than my mom, nor every other person. I would be the one that was so off. He's my student together. He's a young guy. He does many bad things. But God gave us the opportunity, and He said in the Bible that all things work together for good for those who believe in Him. And that is what I've accepted so far. Sometimes, just like you spoke about my wife and my child, sometimes, especially since my child arrived, I take a look at him. I said, this is me. And I'm happy that my generation will live. And sometimes I dance, just dancing like that. And I'm so happy. I wouldn't have even done that before, even though I didn't lose my family. I wouldn't have the opportunity to dance like that sometimes. Yeah.
I think that that is a big thing within his story of highlighting to people is that, you know, even when somebody has had that struggle, he finds joy in light of the process. And I think whether you live in a developed country or even a non-developed country, we still live in a day and age of a lot easier access to things. And I think the process of forgiveness is something that has been extremely lost for multiple cultures. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to talk about the fact that there, you know, there is a process to it and that it does take time, even though we are humans and we live in a world where we want things to be instant, I think it's a huge testament to be able to see, being able to find joy at the same time recognizing continuing struggle and just the continuing journey with regards to that. Because I think a lot of people, they look for just an ounce of hope. You know, and to see, you know, to see that joy and an ounce of hope usually is a pretty great witness just by action itself.
Mm-hmm. Robert, you want to say?
Yeah, it's like what Charles was saying, I think forgiving, it's not easy like that, but God understands everything. As the Bible said, we need to forgive those who have offended us so that our Heavenly Father also forgive us. And you see, if there's something pain in you and you keep it in your heart, you see, that's how the devil take advantage in you, to use it to add something bad. And at the end of it, when you do it, you'll get that, oh, why did I do this? You see how the devil works. So that's why God said we need to forgive one another before He will forgive us. So I think if you forgive somebody, I think your heart is free, you have free mind. I mean, God knows that if you forgive her, He will bless you in some ways that will bring you more joy in ahead of your life. I take example like, for example, like Mandela, like this. Though I did not see Jesus Christ with my eyes, but I trust Him and I worship Him. But Mandela is alive today. We all saw what he passed through. But at the end of it, he has forgiven whatever pain he went through. But look at him. Now God is blessing him through maybe, like if he did not forgive, maybe by now he's dead. But as he forgave those who, I mean, whatever he went through, now he's alive today, healthy. Yesterday was his birthday. This morning I pray for him that God continue to, I mean, give him long life for, I mean, the way he forgive, I mean, the people who have wronged him. I mean, I think forgiveness is something that brings blessing to everyone's life.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Kevin, you had a question about forgetting, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I would like to know if God, when He forgive us, forgets our sin.
Right. What passages from the Bible can you think of which talk about that concept? Does God actually forget our sins? Is there anywhere where it actually says that? What does God do with our sins?
He casts them as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
And I mean, can an omniscient God forget anything?
I think there are various verses, aren't there, which refer to what he does with our sins as the one which says he casts them into the depths of the sea. Mm. He puts them behind his back. But I don't think he ever says he forgets. What he does is he separates the sin from us. And he doesn't intend to bring it up again. In Matthew 18, you remember the story of the two debtors, the one who owes a huge debt and the other one who owes a little one. And the Lord forgave him the big debt there. Now, God hasn't forgotten about it. The man responds very badly to his fellow and refuses to forgive the man the little debt. So he's brought back before the Lord, and the Lord remembers. So the God doesn't forget our sins. I'm quite convinced of that. But it's what he does with them which is important. He puts them behind his back. He blots them out. He is not going to dig them up again. You're not thinking of digging them up again, are you? It's up to you. And I think this goes back to what Charles and Robert have been saying to us. We've got to get into the habit of not digging them up ourselves, because God isn't going to.
So that point being theologically true, how do we put that into practice?
Yeah.
And as you just said, if God is like that, yes, he forgives and effectively destroys, you know, the offence. But he doesn't or is unable to forget, albeit not digging them up. Then in our minds, when we, like Charles says, we will remember the past things that have happened, we can still say, well, even God does that, but if I'm going to be the Son of God, I'm not going to let that affect me. I'm not going to hold on to that grudge. It is effectively as if I've forgotten it, although of course physically it's still in the mind. So yeah, it's the attitude, isn't it, towards that. Donald, you had a question.
I agree with you, said on practical one, forgiveness can be a very long process. It reminds me of a brother in China. I preached him. That brother is a very old brother. He lost his leg during Chinese Cultural Revolution in 1960s. When he was that time, he was young. He nearly wanted to revenge all the times. But now he's getting older. She requested the Bible basics. Then I follow him and preach the Bible to him. Then with the guidance of Jesus and the Bibles, he learns slowly, gradually, steps by steps, learn to forgiveness. Because he's older and afraid of death and these things. It nearly takes around 3 to 4 years to forgiveness, to learn Bible and know Jesus, to forgiveness. In his, he's from his nearly 13 to 15, so these 20 years, he still can't forgive that person. But in the next time of these few years, he learned the forgiveness with Jesus, and they get baptized. Now he died last year, died of cancer. I think he will be resurrected when he comes. This is the works of Jesus. I think so.
Thank you. I think this is interesting. If we think of a journey, the whole of our life is a journey towards the kingdom. And we're not going to be able to necessarily complete the journey. Possibly the life will be cut short while we're part way through the journey. And I think the question we need to be asking ourselves, which road are we on? Where are we going? And I think this is why... What do you think about that statement of intention? There are some people who do it at a very early stage, like my friend Alan, who comes back. He's coming back from Yugoslavia there with the body of his dead wife, who just hasn't been buried yet, and yet he's making a statement of intention.
I think he must have enormous faith
in
his God, who says in all things I will make it possible in your life. Mm. He obviously is aware that he needs to forgive.
Mm.
He might not be in a place at that point where he can forgive, but he knows that through the help of his Lord that he's going to be able to get there. So he's just stating what he wants to eventuate in his life around that subject.
Mm.
And by doing that, he's vocalizing to his Lord and saying, I need your help. This is where I want to be. I'm ready to start the process, but it's still pretty ugly at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's also like as Matthew 6:8 says, if he cannot forgive that man, broken his neck, your trespass, neither your father will forgive your trespass.
Mm.
Then what is he choose? I choose the right.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's a principle that Donald's just mentioned, and we have raised it already, that, you know, when we pray, forgive me, or rather help us to forgive others as you have forgiven me. And there are many other scriptures that testify that for those who show no mercy, they will be given. They will be given no mercy. So, you know, the challenge is to have an honest and a humble heart. And, you know, how often do we sin? And we either pray just in our mind on the spot, or we get on our knees and pray and ask for forgiveness. We know through faith God has forgiven us, just like that. He's not saying, well, hang on, John, hang on a minute. Maybe in 18 months' time I'll get over what you've done. Or, yes, I'll forgive you, but there's going to be a probation period. You know, those methods aren't biblical. God forgives us. If we repent, he forgives us. And the challenge is, you know, when that happens, how dare we, especially, like we've talked about how we should forgive even if there isn't confession, but especially if there is confession, someone comes to us and says, oh, listen, I'm really sorry, please forgive me. You know, how dare we say, well, you know, you've done this before. You know, I forgave you last time. Or, well, okay, I'll forgive you. And this happens in churches. But you can only come back to the Wednesday meeting. You can't break bread yet, as if to say you're on probation. I've seen this happen in church circles as well. And that's just so wrong. That's a fundamental detraction from this whole subject that we're talking about, isn't it?
Mm. And I think it's helpful, as Charles has been hinting at, that we really do need to recognise the depth of the problem that we had between us and God. How deep is that rift? Just how great is the work of Jesus to breach the gulf between us and the eternal God who created the whole universe? The gulf between us and that God, while we are sinners, is enormous.
Mm.
And perhaps if we're having problems forgiving each other, we haven't really stepped back to have a look at just how big is the gulf, how big the gulf was between us and God. If we appreciate that gulf, then we appreciate the grace. If we appreciate the grace, then we're empowered to forgive each other the small things.
Yeah, in talking with others, it's very interesting to when you can become close with an individual and really kind of allow them to open up to you, and you get to learn about their past. Obviously, because usually those things are inferences from the past, and I would have to agree, especially in talking with others, from the aspect of you will see people that do one of two things. They recognize, as a result of their lack of a relationship with the Father or understanding of Him, it's harder for them to learn to forgive somebody else. And there's then the cross side of it, if you might say, from the aspect of it's very hard for them to accept forgiveness from God because of their recognition of an inability to forgive another. And that's been something very interesting that I've increasingly seen where I live and who I talk with, because of the fact that you can have a recognition of one or the other. Most of the time people don't see them both at the same time, but they'll either see their inadequacy in their relationship and their understanding of the Father, or it's they'll see the evil side of how much they really don't want to forgive somebody. And it has direct implications and impacts on our relationship with the Father. I mean, a lot of people, you know, they'll, especially, you know, if they feel that they've messed up, that they've sinned, it's very hard for them to go back to the Father after feeling inadequate. And it's interesting because it's just a declaration of the multiple facets of forgiveness wrapped around an understanding of who the Father is.
I think that's interesting, because what you've described so well is that it's an integrated process.
Yeah.
It's not that God forgives us and, oh, we must go out and forgive. You've described it as an integrated process. As you get involved in one, you are involved in the other. And I think this is why Jesus puts it so strongly. When you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father forgives you. When you don't forgive your brother's trespasses, your Heavenly Father doesn't forgive you. It's part of this overall package of ideas.
And what you were talking about, Josh, I think relates. Remember when Jesus says, you know, love others as you love yourself. That sums up, you know, the second part of the law. But again, if we don't love ourselves, and of course we're not talking about that in the sense of I'm the greatest, you know, prayer, but God, you've forgiven me my sins, I'm valuable to you, I'm precious to you. So I value my life in that regard. If we don't have that, very difficult to actually extend that to others. So I think twofold. We, each of us, who are potentially called to be ministers of God, preaching the gospel, come to terms with the fact yourself, whatever's happened in your life, God loves you, you are valuable, you are worthy. Love yourself in that sense. And then you will be empowered to love others. And the second part of that is also teach others that very same principle. Duncan also talked this morning about dealing with second and third generation Christians and this historical potential for second and third generation churches, you know, to fall into apostasy, as it were, to give away the first love. Well, I think one of the ways we can at least try and address that is teaching them the right thing from the start. You know, majoring on grace. There's a scripture that says that mercy rejoices against judgment. It's in James. Mercy, grace, forgiveness, love. They're sort of synonymous, of course, all with different principles, but that's effectively what we're talking about here. Have it in your own life, and then ensure when you're out preaching that we are majoring, really hammering this thing. I mean, you know from the talks I've already given, I like my scriptures. I like the truth of the scriptures. But grace and mercy and everything has to underpin all of that.
I think another thing that helps us to forgive is if we realize, just like Job realized and asked the wife, like, do we accept only good from God and not accept evil from Him? If we understand that God is the one that is controlling everything, and He is aware of everything, that He is aware of people who offend us and everything, I think He will find it more easy to forgive.
I mean, I think that's interesting. It's an important point, because it's so easy to think that good comes from God and only good, and evil comes from somewhere else. Yeah. There, but I think you put your finger on an important point, that God knows everything.
But it comes from Him.
Yeah.
And if we really say, okay, we want to follow His way, and we will find it easier to forgive that way, realizing that He is the one who gave us both.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that really, not to interrupt, but I think that really sums up and goes back to the original question of, what's the practical application whenever, you know, saying something to somebody and trying to give, you know, them an example? And it really comes back to you know, everything that we've mentioned is the proper understanding of who God is. And, you know, it's something that doesn't necessarily have to be too hard in a conversation, but, you know, hey, friend, pal, whatever, you know, because of, you know, who my God is, and knowing that He doesn't forget my sin, it just amplifies even more for me the aspect that somebody emulated Him, did the same thing, and I'm called to do the same as well.
Yep.
And you know what? I still struggle with it.
Mm.
You know, to this day, I still struggle with it. But I know that He did it. I know that He continues to do it. And I think that then goes right back to what Charles had said. All of a sudden, somebody sees an ounce of joy, a little bit of hope. You know, it's, you know, for them, it's like, well, I mean, He recognizes that somebody does do it, and that He can't do it all the time, but that He's at least trying. And I know that, you know, for me, that's a big thing. I was really understanding the fact that, you know, God doesn't forget, and that there is a model, because we're always going to run into it, especially with the way that our minds are. We're always going to be reminded. And as tough as that may be, every day, like he had said, it's that continuing refining fire.
It's interesting, just as you brought up the subject of God not forgetting, I suddenly remember another verse where it says, God does not count our sins against us. That's what
right.
he does. They're there,
right.
but they're not there counting against us. He's removed them from the balance sheet, as it were.
So as we're going out into the world, it's easy to see our inability. You know, all of us, to put it this way, we've got baggage, right? We've sinned, we've failed, right? We've got a brother, dear old brother, he's in his late 70s now. When he was young, his parents left him to an orphanage. He grew up his whole life in an orphanage. He was sexually abused in that orphanage. At 15, he got out as quick as he could, went into the world, committed an armed robbery because he was so angry, went to prison, came out of prison, and to cut a long story short, got converted sort of a little bit later in his life. I've asked him before, you know, brother, would you change your past? And he says, well, I'd love to have had my face. One time he said, I'd love to see my father walk through that church door and come to church with me. And he said it with tears in his eyes. But he said, John, no, I wouldn't change my past. And you can't change the past anyway. But if he had the option, he wouldn't. Why? Because that was his trail to bring him to the point in his life where he said, God, I need you. Okay? So good comes out of all of our failings. But the other thing is, again, we all fail. We all sin. And sometimes we really muck up big time. All right? And if we've got the guts, the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times a day, but he keeps picking himself up. So if we've got the courage to go to God and say, God, please forgive me, He forgives us, you know what? We are actually more enabled, more empowered to empathize with others, to understand other people's struggles. I mean, let's take an extreme example. We commit adultery, say, and we repent of that, we put it right, you know, and God forgives us. That's a pretty big sin, right? We're going to be a lot less inclined to be pointing the finger when we come across people in those situations, aren't we? Because why? We know what God has done for us. Now, ironically, the flesh, some people in that situation forget, and they can be harder on other people. They almost find their judgment by proxy by giving other people a hard time. But I'm talking about the spiritual person. We've really repented, we've been forgiven. We're actually empowered to go out to the world and to minister to those people in weak situations. That brother who I told you about, who'd been in an orphanage, you know, experienced sexual abuse, has been in a position to understand people's weaknesses. And of course, who went through that the most? Jesus Christ. He was tempted in all points that we are, and yet without sin. He knows it all. And I'm saying that because sometimes we can condemn ourselves out of the game, as it were. Maybe today we're sitting here, fired up, ready to go to the mission field, and tomorrow we fail, we sin, we maybe let God down, and we think, I'm not ready for this. God can't use me. Don't think that. If you repent, God will forgive you. And I tell you, you are now, and this seems ironic that such a thing as sin, or even gross sin, can actually strengthen us, but that's our God. He brings strength out of weakness. Mm-hmm. What did he say to the Apostle Paul? You know, through your weakness, I make you strong. So can I encourage you along that score to be like that yourself? Don't see your sin as a weakness, and with other people, say to them, whatever happened, God can make you strong through that.
Yes, thank you.